in our hymn books, which is going to be up here on the screen momentarily, there is a reading, and it will do it responsively from the screen. And it is a reading with portions of Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. So if we could have that up on the screen, and we'll read together, okay? So I'll read the pastor part, and you read the highlighted green part, okay? All right. If you can find a truly good wife, she is worth more than precious gems. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She buys imported foods brought by ship from distant ports.
She gets up before dawn to prepare her harvest for her household and plans the day's work for her servant girls.
She goes out to inspect a field and buys it. With her own hands, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic, a hard worker, and watches for bargains. She works far into the night.
She sows for the poor and generously gives to the needy. She has no fear of winter or for her household, for she has made warm clothes for the humble.
Her husband is well known, for he sits in the council chamber with the other civic leaders. When she speaks, her words are wise, and kindness is the rule for everything she says.
She watches carefully all that goes on throughout the household and is never lazy.
Her children stand and bless her. So does her husband. He praises her with these words: "There are many fine women in the world, but you are the best of them all." Thank you. It's quite a tall order there, isn't it, as you consider that? And a lot to unpack within this passage from Proverbs chapter 31. And so we will try our best to take a look at that this morning and see how this all applies to us, both men and women. I think there's something in here for each and every one of us. There was a six-year-old by the name of Johnny. He had a little sister, and guess what her name was? Susie. She was 4 years old, so little Johnny and Susie. They decided that for Mother's Day, they were going to put their coins together from their piggy banks, and they were going to go to the local florist, and they were going to buy something special for their mom for Mother's Day. And so when they arrived at the store, there were, of course, several bouquets of flowers and lots of pretty plants and things for them to choose from. But being only 6 and 4 years old, they had limited amount of funds, and they were trying to do this quietly and secretively so that mom was not aware. And while they were there, they settled upon this small but spindly house plant. That it wasn't the finest looking specimen, but it's what their money could buy, and so that's what they purchased for their mom for Mother's Day. And upon receiving it, she gave them hugs and kisses, and she was so excited to receive this wonderful little plant from little Johnny and little Susie. Now, Johnny, wanting to let his mom know that there was other things that they would really like to have gotten her, but they just didn't have enough money, he spoke up and he said, "Mom, there were so many, many other flowers that were so pretty, but we just didn't have enough money." "Yeah," Susie said. She spoke up, "Mom, there were lots of real nice flowers there at the shop that we were going to buy." Well, mom, of course, didn't want the children to feel bad, and she said, "But I love this little spindly plant. It is so nice, and I appreciate everything. But Johnny, wanting to make sure his mom knew how much he was loved, he was so excited to tell his mom, but Mom, you have to understand, there were so many pretty flowers. In fact, there was one there, and it was like a wreath, and it would have been perfect for you, Mom. It would have been so, so perfect for you. It was in a shape of a wreath, and it had these words written on it, and it said, "Rest in peace." Mom, it would have been perfect for you because you always tell us that you need some peace and that you need some quiet. Well, I'm sure that all of you from time to time as moms, as parents, know that you some days you just wish that the world would go away. It's kind of one of those Caligon take me away moments and just get me away from everything. But on this day, we gather around and we share love for our mothers. And so a traditional passage of scripture that we look to is from Proverbs chapter 31. And this entire chapter really is a wealth of what it means to be a mom. It's titled A Wife of Noble Character, but it's definitely within the scripture that this was also a mother. So let's take a look at some of the qualities of a mother that are in this wonderful book of Proverbs chapter 31. The first thing that we see in this passage of scripture is that moms work, that wives of noble character, they do all kinds of work. It says in the scriptures that mom selects wool and flax. And what does she do with that? She makes clothing. I know it's kind of a lost art in our world today, but I remember my mom going up to the store and finding little patterns and trying to make clothes and things for my brother and me. We didn't ever like to wear them, but she made some anyway for us. And it was kind of important. And when I was in school, boys had shop, girls had home ec, and then they started to combine those things a little bit, and you had to learn a little bit about both things. But women do a lot of things, and typically, stereotypically, I guess you could say that one of the things that women did in the biblical era, and even today, not as much perhaps, but you know, spinning thread, making clothing, making projects, those kinds of things. And it also indicates throughout this scripture passage that they had this fine linen. And so the fine linen was associated with wealth. It was associated with dignity. And so the mom bought these things. It says that she was thrifty, that she was prudent, and that she took care of things. And so this was a very important thing. Another thing that she did for work is that mom was used to bringing food from afar. This is not what we do today when we like drive out to KFC or McDonald's or Dairy Queen and bring food from afar. This was buying food at a port that might be something that was imported. That's what the scripture is talking about here. Mom and a wife of noble character is an enterprising woman. And the Bible says that this woman, this wife of noble character, is worth more than rubies, is far more valuable than silver. And so the emphasis here is that there is nothing in this world that can outvalue a wife or a woman of noble character, a mother of noble character. There's nothing in this world that is of more or greater value. And then in verse 15, it's implied that that she cooks and that she provides for the family. And this is something that, again, stereotypically, it's been something that women do. I think I've said this to you before. The times when I was growing up, we had a pretty traditional household. And the times that my mom was sick, had the flu or whatever, my dad would cook, and when my dad would cook, it would always be breakfast. It didn't matter what meal it was always breakfast, and it was great. He had eggs, he had French toast, he had bacon, you know, the potatoes, all the whole bit, you know, but we'd eat that for dinner when mom was sick, and we never liked for mom to be sick, but we were always glad when dad was able to come through with a decent meal for us, too. Another thing that moms do is that they garden. It says that she planted in her vineyard. Not only did she plant and work the land, but ladies, in this Old Testament passage of the book of Proverbs, it says she considered the land and she purchased it. So she was a landowner. She purchased the land at this time. It was interesting to me. In these days when women didn't necessarily have the value or the recognition that we women have today, that in this time they could still, you know, that she bought property and that she took good care of it. And it also shows that she had good judgment. She was able to consider things and make a wise decision. The scripture also indicates a couple of things that I think are really neat, and I've seen these happen in my own household. I saw them growing up and with my grandmother and my mom and others, is that mom got up early and she went to bed late. And this was particularly the case at holiday time. Why? Because there was a lot of extra cooking. There was a lot of extra things to prepare. And typically, family was coming in from somewhere or another. There were special parties and recognitions. And so mom got up early while it was still dark. And I can remember this happening, you know, getting up early and putting on the turkey for Thanksgiving, or getting up early and cooking something for that day, or cleaning up the house. And then late at night, it says that the lamp does not go out. And again, this might be at a holiday time where, you know, there's extra giving that takes place and things that need to be prepared around a tree or what have you. But this is the opposite of what it means to be lazy. It says that this woman of noble character, this mom, is not a lazy person. So to have that great value, to be looked upon with this love and kindness, is a woman that's not lazy. She tends her garden, she feeds her family, she takes care of the clothing for the family, she keeps the house. There's all kinds of things that are done. And again, I want you to understand, I realize that in this world, some of these things have changed. I don't agree that all of those things are for the better, but at the same time, I do see that these things were important in the scriptures, and they're still important today, as we have these roles and as these things are played out. Verse 27 tells us that she watches over the affairs of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. And this is just a reinforcement of what was just said. She's not lazy. She works. And James tells us in his chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, that idleness is the handmaiden of temptation. And of course, we know that temptation has the ability then to lead us into sin. And we make mistakes and we separate ourselves from God from that. So if you sometimes think about being lazy, think about this passage. Think about what James tells us, that we should not be lazy, because that laziness is the handmaiden of temptation, which would lead to sin. And so we want to acknowledge the fact that mothers, that wives, that women are, that like mothers, are people that work hard. Those that follow this passage of Scripture are women that work hard. Now, not only do they work hard, but they speak. And typically when they speak wisdom. A woman that is a good character has wisdom. And they don't keep it to themselves, but they share it. They share that wisdom with their children, sometimes whether they want to hear it or not. And they share it with their friends. They serve as a counselor in time of need, especially to their children, but also to their dear friends and their family. A preacher had four sons, and these four sons all followed in their father's footsteps and went into the ministry. And there was a family gathering with some friends that took place one summer. And as they were gathered there, one of the friends spoke up and said to one of the brothers, "You know, your dad's a preacher. You and your three brothers are preachers. Who do you think was the best preacher of all in your family?" And without missing a beat, the son spoke up and he said, "Mom." Mom was the best preacher in the family. Now, Patty, I don't want to embarrass you this morning, but I remember when we were growing up, but I'm going to anyway. When our kids were growing up, when they were little, and your mom used to say, "Patty, every time you correct your kids, you give them a sermon." And I think that when that happens, you know, you share good news with your children. You share right and wrong, and you teach them lessons. And of course, you're going to do that from God's word. And so while moms are also hardworking, they also speak. And when they speak, they are full of wisdom and they give great counsel if they are women of character. We also know from Scripture that mothers, that wives of noble character, are women that are filled with love. This is really what makes a difference, is love. And you can always tell the genuine love that a woman has or a mother has for her children. It just shines through. It's not something that can be faked. It's something that is real and genuine. It says in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 11 and 12, that a woman's husband has full confidence in her and that she lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. You may say, well, that's kind of seems like it's focused on the husband. Well, a husband can hold his head high and be proud of the way in which his wife conducts herself, which the mother of his children conducts herself. And in her actions, in her words, in her deeds, she does not bring harm to the name of the family. She does not bring harm to the goodness of God and his word, but she lives a life that is pleasing. In Proverbs, another chapter, verse 18, verse 22, we find these words. It says that a woman of good character is good. She is good. I just love that word. Someone can be good. But it goes on to say that when he finds that woman of noble character, when he finds that woman that is good, it pleases the Lord. And so then it takes attention off of that husband, and it says when that person finds that woman of noble character, it pleases God. It's why the Bible tells us that we should not be unequally yoked, that we should be of one mind in our relationships, and that brings goodness to the Lord in his name. And if that happens, then a husband can be fulfilled. A husband can be complete and have confidence in his wife because she truly loves her husband and takes care of him in that way. She is shrewd. She is practical. She is wise. She is shrewd in managing her practical affairs. She's cautious. She's discreet. She's thrifty and she's frugal. There was a grandmother who had the job one evening of babysitting her granddaughter while mom and dad were having a party at the house. And so it came time for the little girl to go to bed. And grandma took the little girl upstairs to put her to bed. And the little girl said to grandma, "Mommy and Daddy are entertaining some very important people downstairs." And grandma said, "You're right, but how did you know?" And she said, "Well, just listen. Mom's laughing at all of Dad's jokes." And when there's laughter in the home, you know that that's a good sign. The Bible tells us that laughter is like a good medicine, that a cheerful heart is like good medicine. And so we know that it's important to have that in a home. Mothers are unselfish. Even though I tell dad jokes occasionally, and Patty will laugh or something, and the boys will roll their eyes, but at least I know that Patty's laughing at my jokes, and you guys entertain me sometimes by laughing at my sort of funny jokes. Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. It goes opposite as well. So, yeah, thank you. I want to conclude with what I think is really the most important part of this passage, and it really kind of comes to a conclusion very nicely and in the end of this chapter, verse 30. And really, this is what really all matters. It says in verse 30 that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. We all know that we get old. We're not able to do some of the things that we used to. We don't always look like we did 20, 30, 40 years ago. The body has a way of kind of going down a little bit on us, doesn't it? Doesn't seem like it's fair, does it? But those things are deceptive, that charm that we might be able to put on, or that beauty. But that beauty is fleeting. It goes away. It fades away over time. And the beauty is not just something on the outside, but it is something deep within. It's more than just the appearance, the outward appearance of a person. But even greater and more inward than that is the fear of God. And when I say fear, and when they write fear in the passage of Scripture here, the fear that is spoken about is not a scared fear. It's a reverence. It's an appreciation. It's an awe of God and His goodness. It's a reverence toward Him. It's a loving relationship with God. She fears the Lord. It says, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Someone who has a healthy respect, a right relationship with God, who reads and submits to the word and the will of God, is a woman, a mother, who deserves to be praised. Now, are there times when we mothers, and yes, even fathers, or single people, whatever your relationship may be, that we don't fear the Lord, that this is not descriptive of our lives? Yes. There are times when we've said things or done things that we shouldn't have, that take away from this verse, and it shows that we don't always have the fear of the Lord that we should, or we're not in awe and reverence of God, or listening to His word, or taking it to our heart as we ought. Or are there those times as a mother, or whatever your role, that you have doubted God, that you've given up on Him, that you decided that you want to try it on your own, because the duties are too demanding, and you don't know what else to do? We have to be honest with ourselves, don't we? This passage is also often titled The Ideal Woman. The ideal is, you know, what you look to. It gives us a roadmap. It gives us a guide of what we can be like and what we aspire to and want to be like. We don't always hold up to all of these things, men, women, or children. But we do our best, and we give our best to the Lord. We look to Him, and we ask forgiveness for the times when we've fallen short. And we need to seek out the forgiveness of our children, or the forgiveness of our mothers, or vice versa, and these relationships, because that is what God desires of us. But we often fail to trust in God's presence in our trials. But we can find comfort on this day and all days, because we understand that Jesus is always with us and that His Holy Spirit resides within our hearts. So we are called to fear and love God. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Verse 31 concludes the chapter when it says, honor her with all, for all that her hands have done. For her works bring her praise at the city gate. I think it's always nice when you run into someone in a community and they say something nice about your loved one. Your wife is so sweet. Your wife is so kind. Your mom is pretty cool. These are things that I think brings joy. I know they all have to my heart. Or your wife is so gifted and talented. That's true of you, Patty. It's true of many women. It's special. One of the things that I want to do here is I want to back up and I want to say a word to the children. And we are all children, right? So we're God's children. We're a biological child of someone. It says in verse 28 that her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. All these things that this wife of noble character, this ideal woman, all the things that she does, says, portrays, we need to acknowledge that. And that's why we have a day like Mother's Day. But it's only one day. Let's be real here. We need to do this all the time. It says her children would rise up and they would call her blessed. What does that mean? It means that that woman can enjoy happy circumstances, that there's a happiness about her. There's a happiness in her heart. And it's a person that you see from whom joy radiates. You can see it on their face. And you can know that they've been encouraged, that they've been praised by their mom, that others in the community witness the joy that is in their heart. Children, rise up and bless your mother. Listen to what she has to say. Take good care of her. In the days when perhaps your dad will no longer be there, be that person that can be counted on to take good care of your mom. And by God's grace, this morning we can renew that pledge to fear the Lord, as this woman of noble character does within this passage today. But if you've heard nothing else, I want you to understand that the key here is the fear of God, the respect of God, and following His word. This is what makes a truly godly woman and godly mother who has good, solid Christian character. Yes, her hands work. Yes, she speaks wisdom. And yes, her heart loves. And really, other than this Proverbs chapter 31, it's hard to find the right words to say. It's hard to fill up a card. It's hard to have adequate pen to write, but to understand that these are the qualities that we need to be looking for. These are the qualities that we desire, because they're the qualities that God desires in a Christian woman. And so I rejoice this morning. I rejoice for those of you who have these characteristics, those of you who are faithful and strong and hold your families together. You have such a weight, and you've all done such a good job. Whether you've been that mom or grandmother or loving aunt who gave us their love and support, we thank God for you. We, those who taught us to pray, those who took us to church and made us sit still and quiet till the long-winded preacher stopped, those women who feared the Lord, who gave their lives to Him as an example, let us rise this morning and call her blessed. May God bless all of you this morning, and may you truly have a happy and blessed Mother's Day. Amen.